Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? boy, welcome to the Knowledge Fight.
That is our official opening theme song.
I love you.
I love you.
I will marry you.
If you're joining us for the first time, which of course you are.
You have to be.
This is a show where I am going to have a little discussion with my friend Jordan here.
That's me. Also, I'm Jordan Holmes.
Also, I'm Dan.
We're off to a great start.
Clunky off the top. I have lately...
Experienced podcaster Dan Friesen.
Totally.
Yes.
I've been doing this for years, and yet out the gates...
Still can't introduce himself.
Clunk City. I have...
That is also the name of this podcast. No. InfoWars Wars Clunk City.
The clunked remix.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Chopped and clunked. So I have, for the last while, been a bit obsessed with, one Alex Jones of InfoWars fame. And as the world has turned, to quote a soap opera title, I have become more and more aware that I want to do a better job of covering what he does.
Right.
It's kind of like a Chris Hardwick thing. Where it's like the Talking Dead.
Right.
I want to do that.
You
want to
do an Alex Jones after show.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we all sit around wondering who's going to die next week.
Exactly. Spoiler alert. It's all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all dead. But I want to say this. I want to be very clear about a couple things.
Because
I love you. It would be so easy to get things misconstrued off the top, and I don't want those things to ever come up as a confusion.
Okay.
First thing. I in no way want Alex Jones to be taken off the air.
Right.
I think what he does is...
when this podcast blows up and we're the number one podcast next year, our careers are entirely tied to his continued success.
So we need him.
Yeah, we need him.
I think what he does borders on entertaining, and on the other side of that border is irresponsible. But at the same time, I am so opposed to censoring things. I want people to view him in context... But I would never want to shut him down or say, like, he can't do what he does.
Right.
Because that's an easy attack.
Or right.
Whatever, you know, like.
And it's a slippery slope.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
If you can go after him, who's next, you know? Like, as people who say, like, professionally say, dumb shit.
Sure.
If we.
On stages.
Yeah, exactly.
On microphones.
Exactly. Recorded in some instances.
Yeah, very foolishly on my part.
Yeah, exactly. If we start going after those guys, you know, somebody's next that we like.
Sure.
That said.
And even beyond that, there's a principle of it.
Right.
Which we do subscribe to.
Right.
Which
Absolutely.
Is say whatever you want as long as it's not, you know, advocating violence against somebody, a threat,
which
or libel.
Which he's done.
Well,
which he's also done.
But that gets me to my second point.
Okay.
Whatever I'm going to say and whatever you're going to say, I want this to be super clear. There's a big part of me that really admires Alex Jones.
Absolutely.
And here's why. He is.
You're an insane person.
Yes. I'm nuts.
Okay. No,
he is an amazing broadcaster.
Okay.
If you really take the tricks of broadcasting and apply him to them, he is insanely good.
Okay.
You could not say a lot of the stuff he does without being really good at your job. I think that's something that will come out. We'll see. There are points where you'd be like, he's great.
Right.
I admire his skill. I don't like what he does with it.
Right. Well, I think that's probably going to be the central battle of this whole podcast is you trying to prove to me that I should admire him in certain aspects.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I just wanted to make that caveat off the top because it would be easy for anyone listening to think that this is just going to turn into a beat up fest and be like, hey, Alex Jones is stupid. And
right.
That's not at all. And, oh, another thing. I don't think people who listen to him are stupid. I don't think his fans are stupid.
That's actually on the way here, that's something I was thinking about is,
yeah.
where are we on the axis of stupid/evil?
Personally?
Yeah.
I'm not,
not
evil.
Not you and me. Oh. Although we're probably more on the evil side, I would assume.
I would say I'm more stupid.
Okay.
Most of the evil things I've done in my life have been accidents.
Okay.
Let's say.
You're not a premeditated murder guy.
No,
you're
no,
like
no.
a second degree murder guy. Like in the sure. heat of the moment.
Or manslaughter even.
Yeah, yeah. In the heat of the moment, oopsies.
Uh-huh. I accidentally yeah. trigger like a Rube Goldberg machine and it kills someone. that's the kind of evil I'm at. It's like, oh no, gotcha. What happened there?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. We want to start with, I want to start out with something a little bit fun and that kind of, I think, is indicative of, this is just one day in the life of Alex Jones.
Right.
All of these clips that we're going to play are from the January 2nd, 2017 episode.
Right.
Putting this out a couple days after, but we have to because of just like, we have jobs.
Right.
I wish that I could just,
our jobs are not Alex Jones's job.
My job is not the brain battle.
Right.
As much as I wish it was, I wish that I could just sit around and isolate these clips and ruminate on them.
Right.
But I
this
can't.
Podcast will also be us occasionally dropping out potential names for this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Every episode we may change the name of this podcast. Good luck finding us.
So for those of you who don't know who Alex Jones is, he is formerly a wild conspiracy theory broadcaster who then turned, took a bit of a turn into a bit of a preacher, and then now is basically just super into Trump because he believes that Trump is going to destroy the globalists.
Okay.
Now, who are the globalists? It's a nebulous term.
I really don't want you to say a word that begins with J and ends with Uden.
What about the article?
right.
DOS?
Yes, yeah. See, there we go.
MS-DOS. It's super vague who the globalists are, but
right.
they are the ones he's against.
Right.
And we know some of the characters that he'll throw out. These
right.
are the people who want, there to be more, trans, Atlantic partnerships. Mm. I'm not necessarily in favor of these things. I'm not necessarily philosophically opposed to, in principle, some of the things he's for.
Right.
But.
If he didn't have at least some small aspect of like, God damn it, I might actually agree with him, he would never be successful.
Undoubtedly.
If it was just pure on bile all day, every day, for 3 hours a day.
Four, if you count commercials,
God
which he does
damn.
A lot of the commercials.
Oh, of course he
which
does.
Which we'll get to in a minute.
All right.
But I wanted to start with one of the things that I think is spectacularly indicative of his style of broadcast.
Okay.
Here are a couple of clips, from this day's episode that highlight a tendency within him to want to tell you things, but not want to tell you things.
Right.
There's this like, there's a give and take, that he does. And this goes back to the expert broadcasting thing.
Right.
There's an amazing like ability to tell you things and not tell you things simultaneously.
Ooh, that's good. He's working both angles. Before we do that though, let's talk about the central kind of idea of this podcast.
Yes.
You are an InfoWars obsessive.
But
me,
not
and
obsessive.
I don't know a goddamn thing about Alex Jones.
Yes. Your
right.
role totally accurate by your description.
Right.
I'm not an obsessive. I'm fascinated.
Okay. All right.
And I believe that there's a certain responsibility that people have to,
the
like...
The same way I'm not obsessed with any of my ex-girlfriends, I'm just fascinated by
yes.
their recent actions that don't involve me.
Dude, I told you not to bring up me and Alex's past relationship.
Okay. Sorry.
It was really fucking brutal. Right?
I know. He broke your heart.
Listen.
And stole your bike.
Listen. You can read between the lines. All my exes live in Texas. Also, one of my favorite things is the opening of his show. It talks about how he's deep within occupied Texas.
Occupied. So what? Austin? Is that what he's talking about? He's in Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in Austin.
He's in the only occupied Texas that there is.
It's occupied.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, here's his first clip. In this one, it also showcases what I would describe as a glaring false humility that he has, and I think it's delicious.
Because honestly, I don't think many of us are going to be able to hear you here in the very near future. I honestly believe that they're either going to take you out or you're going to get murdered, same way as Trump. The reasoning that I'm calling is my personal view on what I think is going to be happening. And like I said, they're either going to shut InfoWars down, they're going to take you out, they're going to either have Trump assassinated during the inauguration or right before or right afterwards. They're not going to let him be president very long. And personally, as a long-haul truck driver, at this point, I'm considering quitting my job, going home, finding something to do locally, because I don't think that, you know, even something, what I'm doing, I don't think any of this is going to last very much longer. Not even.
So while this caller is describing these paranoid fantasies about how someone's going to murder Alex Jones,
right.
Alex is sitting there making a face.
Before we get into what
the response
crazy nonsense he's about to say, here's the thing I wonder about right-wing people who are always assuming that crazy right-wing people are going to be assassinated.
Uh-huh.
Right-wing people are never assassinated. It's always Harvey Milk or mm-hmm. Kathy Giffords.
MLK.
Or, yeah. It's always the people who are trying to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Because liberals and progressives ultimately are pussies. I think that's really what it is.
Well, now the narrative that he would spin, maybe... I don't want to put words in his mouth. But
false flag operations? Oh, so good.
Bingo. You know, it's the globalists taking out the progressives in order to create social chaos. It's this sort of logic that you can't really get out of because it just becomes circular
right.
at a certain point. So anyway, this caller has raised this concern about how Trump and him are going to be taken out. And here's Alex's response.
I was about to say, I was going to be going on the road the next few days and going and having some meetings and things, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'd imagine the media could put two and two together, and I'm tempted to not even leave, just because, but then I don't need to warn people in person, put you that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point to where I just know that this isn't
about pomp and circumstance, exactly. Like I've already, I'm not going to even get into it. The point is, this is so serious. I'm like, I can do more here. I don't need to even go have somebody pat me on the head and say thank you. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm so in the bunker at this point that I don't even care about meeting with the president. I'm sorry, just go ahead.
Okay. All right. You're in that bunker, my man.
he's in the bunker.
In Occupied Texas.
In Occupied Texas.
Yes. The InfoWars studio.
Right.
Full of the delightful people like Rob Dew and Joanne McAdoo. Leanne McAdoo? Not Joanne. How dare I?
Leanne McAdoo sounds like a made-up name.
Owen Schroyer. These are people who I don't want to talk about. Because I'm focusing on Alex.
We're digging into Alex.
Yeah.
We will develop an entire podcast network mm-hmm. into the Alex Jones network.
There will be spinoffs.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Where we just cover Owen Schroyer news.
Right. we're gonna be so busy, we're gonna hire different hosts to deal with.
I'm gonna have a kid. And at age 3, it's gonna start on the Alex Jones's kid beat.
That's a good idea. Raise them up soldiers. That's what I say.
My 3-year-old son will start covering Alex Jones's 13-year-old son, who is a correspondent for InfoWars.
Right. Who is also equivalent in intelligence to a 3-year-old.
Possibly. I don't want to beat up on him. He seems like a good kid.
You are.
It's like.
That's exactly what we're trying to avoid is us just talking shit.
Especially on people who don't deserve it.
Right.
Like, we grew up in the church. In various churches, and we did things, I would say, in the name of those churches that we don't really look back on fondly now.
That's true.
I remember there was a See You at the Flag. It was like this celebration where before school, everyone would gather up and pray at the flag, pray for our horrible culture.
Oh, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
I forgot because I blocked it out of my memory.
I apologize for bringing it back
up. Yeah, no, I'm going to have to deal with that now.
But I would go around and try and proselytize to my friends, and I really regret that now. And I feel similarly for this kid.
Right.
Like, Rex Jones, I don't know. Like, if you believe the stuff that you're saying, God bless you, you're 13. Like, no one should believe what they will believe as an adult at 13.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
And it's sad for me, a 29-year-old man, to be like, oh, it's about time somebody took this 13-year-old down a peg.
I also wonder if he's paying him. Is he paying his son for these reports?
Absolutely not.
Anyway.
Absolutely not.
So if
he is, he's keeping it.
So that clip, I think, indicated this beautiful thing that Alex does where he wants to tell you badly that he was invited to have a meeting with
Trump.
He's
having some meetings.
He really wants to tell you that.
You need to know that. And if you're in the media who doesn't cover him,
no.
You can put two and two together.
Right.
But if then, you covered him.
But then that wasn't enough. So at the end of the clip, he had to explain, I don't need the president to pat me on the head.
Oh, absolutely not.
So he does this another time that I think is pretty amazing. But this clip is actually a little bit longer and starts with what I can only describe as amazing fan fiction about political intrigue.
I was hoping for Twilight, but let's move on.
Just change a couple names and insert a personal email server, and you basically have Bella and Edward. All right.
For years, she would put data on there to then be paid at her foundation at her Dropbox. She didn't go to a local park and drop the stuff underneath a park bench like other spies have done. She would load it up for everybody in the world to see. And she would say where she stood on China or where she stood on this country or that and what she was going to do. So they knew what she was about to do and had to give her more money. Or she would put in policies that weren't one-sided for them.
Now, as far as I can tell, there's no evidence of this.
I also feel like he doesn't know what Dropbox is or how spies work.
Do they go to the park? I think
they do. I feel like they go to park in movies, and then in real life, they just go through garbage.
That's another leitmotif that will come up, not on this episode, but a lot of times he does use movies to explain the real world. Like recently, he did a breakdown of the new Alien movie that's coming out next year. About how it depicts what the Illuminati really believes about the world.
Well,
crazy.
If anybody already knows the plot to the new Alien movie coming out next year, it's got to be him.
He's got documents.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. It was in Hillary's Dropbox email account.
It was. All right, back to the clip.
She also had one-sided policies for the aliens.
Hillary created a digital Dropbox. And by the way, that's been confirmed, and that's the data that's going to come out if the Democrats keep pushing. But the Democrats are so crazy, they don't even care. They're going to go for broke. They made a deal with Trump on election night to admit he won and to back off.
Perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. And that then Trump would put out the word to the dogs in U.S. intelligence to stop releasing info. And they began double-crossing Trump the next morning and the American people. And I told Trump, they're never going to stop coming after you. I told him 3 days after the election, I said, Mr. President-elect, they're never going to stop. They're never going to follow the deal. They're going to try to kill you politically or physically. They're not going to stop. They can't stand. I'm not going to say everything I said, and I've said.
How could he?
What Trump said. But let me explain something to everybody. This is deadly serious. All of this is deadly serious.
All right.
That's the end of that clip?
It is.
All right. So let's tear this apart piece by piece.
Oh, and let me be clear. Some of these clips may end up being a little bit long because before we started recording, I wanted to explain to you that I don't want to play things wildly out of context.
Right.
I think that's an unfair game to play. And as best I can, I'm going to keep... I'm going to keep this...
This is deadly serious.
Yeah. So... The point of that clip, I think, is that he talks to Trump, right? I think that's kind of the point.
Well, I think there's a few things that we get into there at the beginning,
okay.
Which is she's created a digital Dropbox.
Yes, which is proven.
That is confirmed.
Yes.
Just like I feel like everybody has a digital Dropbox.
I have a Dropbox, sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's
also
digital.
You shouldn't need to say digital in front of Dropbox.
Also, Dropbox is a brand name.
Right.
It's an app.
It's Buzz Marketing.
Oh, shit.
He works for Dropbox.
Holy shit, new conspiracy.
New conspiracy theory right there. This is deadly serious.
We should keep a running tally of new conspiracies. Number one. Alex Jones works for Dropbox.
Right. Okay. He is a secret agent for the Dropbox Corporation.
Yeah.
Okay, so she created this Dropbox. That's confirmed.
Where the Chinese could find out what she's going to do to them.
Right.
And then pay her to not do it, I guess.
That's
sort of the implication.
I feel like I can't argue with that.
Well, how could you?
Because that is so beyond the realm of possibility.
Now, why would you say that? You seem like you're in denial.
So, okay. First off,
uh-huh.
China is not a guy.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a guy.
He forms like Voltron.
All of China.
1 billion parts.
Like, I understand that he thinks of China as one dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you asked him to name the Politburo in China, do you think he could?
I don't even know if that's a person or a building.
It's a collective.
Oh, okay.
Like the Politburo. It's from Russia. It's the governing body. It's an oligarchy, basically.
Okay.
These are I don't know. You could call them the Illuminati.
Okay.
Who sit around and talk about what it is they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They are not one guy. Like, and also,
but do they act as one? Unified
no.
in attack and approach.
I assume that they get together and, you know, like,
conspire.
That
would, I hate to put words in your mouth.
I just lost to Alex Jones.
I don't think you did.
We are on one episode, and it's Alex Jones 1, me 0.
I don't think you did lose, because the fundamental point still remains that the idea that she created a digital Dropbox where people could find out stuff.
See, like that's how insidious he is. We keep saying digital Dropbox.
Right, it's smart. It's the same. It's essentially creating a verbal hashtag.
Right.
And again, this comes back to why he's a good broadcaster. These are the elements that you have to take apart to see, like, oh, this is what he's doing. In the same way,
his cadence as well. Everything, every single thing that he went through there mm-hmm. is easily capable of sticking in your mind.
Sure.
Like,
and there's a hypnotic meter.
I know. I can't get digital Dropbox out of my head now. If somebody asked me to, hey, could you just put that in my Dropbox? I'd be like, wait.
You mean a digital
Which Dropbox? The digital one or the one that's underneath that park bench over there?
Well, this is a bad example of it, but it is an old-fashioned trick that oral tradition cultures would use. In the same way that Alex, every time he talks about the Chinese, he calls them the communist Chinese.
Right.
It's a trick called using an epithet. And not necessarily like a negative epithet. That's,
right.
But it's just using something to characterize a noun makes it stick in your memory more. In the same way that they would always call Achilles rage-filled Achilles or brave Odysseus in the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's a really good trick when you don't have paper to get people to remember things. It's a mnemonic trick. And he uses that so fucking well. Digital Dropbox is probably not even intended to be like that, but it still is.
He's well.
To the point where you're distracted from the point that there was a deal made.
Yeah. No. All I can think about is where is this digital Dropbox?
Right. The only way for this claim to be proven is for some information.
Well, the digital Dropbox is confirmed.
Well, yes, but it's been confirmed through unconfirmed channels or whatever. You know.
Yeah, I feel like you can just find somebody who's like, oh, yeah, I put something into that Dropbox.
No, only she put things in. Everyone else put money in accounts.
Where? You can't do it at a digital Dropbox.
Cayman Islands, I don't know. I don't know, the foundation. You make a donation to the foundation. Ooh.
That's some solid epithet right there. The donation foundation.
That's just rhyming. Yeah. So, I mean, like, the only way for it to be proven that they, like, Hillary stepped down immediately because she was afraid of this information of the digital Dropbox coming out that Trump had over her, and somehow Trump actually has all of the intelligence agencies in his sway and all this. The only way for that to ever come out is for the shit to go down.
Yeah, well,
and
it does, if you know anything about the intelligence agencies and the way they've been behaving, they kind of are on Trump's side pretty solidly. The thing that confused me mm-hmm. is that he's insisting that Hillary and the Democrats
yeah.
made a deal on election night.
Uh-huh.
He gives very few details, by which I mean known, none,
zilch.
About what that deal entails. So we know there's a deal. We don't know what that deal is.
Uh-huh.
The next day, they are betraying him.
Right.
We don't know how they're betraying him because we don't know what their deal. I think we can guess why.
But why would they?
They're all globalists.
Well, sure.
Who are in the who are just hanging out with China.
It makes no sense to make that deal to begin with if you're going to flip on it the next morning.
I think it makes perfect sense.
Oh, so he doesn't in his speech, acceptance speech, doesn't lay out all this dirty laundry? That would be wild. In the morning?
That would be the greatest.
That would be crazy.
That would, if he came out in his acceptance speech with just, and here's all the shit I have on Hillary now. I was waiting to tell it to you guys until I got elected.
Yeah.
If only they had made a deal with me 2 hours ago, I wouldn't have said anything.
That fucking deal window's closed.
Hey, if they had betrayed me tomorrow, I would have been fine as long as this deal happened tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
insanity.
So they betrayed him.
Yes.
And the Democrats,
mm-hmm.
Which again, I feel like
the Chinese.
I feel like he's just using it as a guy.
Right. Combo noun.
It is a guy. in his mind, it's a guy.
It's Schumer.
All Democrats are a guy.
They're all Chuck Schumer.
they're all Amy Schumer, actually.
Or Rahm.
But as
let's be fucking honest. It's George Soros. That's who he thinks all Democrats
are. That is right.
That's who he thinks they all are. In fact, that brings me to our next clip.
Excellent. That was the greatest segue in the history of podcasts.
Thank you very much. This clip is actually part of what I would claim to be a very substantive narrative that has been going on forever on his show. And it's something that I really take issue with because it's a good example of a time where he uses something and references it and just lies about what it says.
Okay.
So George Soros is essentially his big boogeyman. He's his evil globalist madman. And so here's a little clip of Alex talking about George Soros on today's program.
The minute they take down Netanyahu, they're going after Trump. So, hey, all of you that wanted to live under globalist Islamic rule, all of you that hate Jews, you're about to get a big, juicy taste if the globalists win of what it's going to be like being under Saudi Arabia and communist China, politically calling the shots to the Democrats who've openly made deals to sell us out to them. Oh, and then have weirdo Nazi collaborators like George Soros, who's Jewish, sitting over it. So, you know, get your anti-Semitism straight there. You got this evil Dr. Evil over here running this whole takeover who's Jewish. And they're about to get rid of the Jewish state, so just enjoy yourselves. You got to taste rounding up Jews in World War II. Just it's so delicious. Little Soros, he just can't stop. And it's all in the WikiLeaks. And you know what? The Jews haven't done anything to stop him. Hell, half the Jews are liberals, love George Soros. So, hey, just have whatever you want, dumbasses.
So a couple things.
That was a barrage of people all together on the same side. So let's parse.
Wait, I want to say one thing before we parse.
Okay.
I think that this clip also contains one of my favorite fucking things in the world, which is everyone is always surprised by commercial breaks. They are never fucking ready for a commercial break, but all of their commercials are just for their supplements. It's all just for colloidal iodine. Super male vitality. It's all the in-house InfoWars pills, but they never could plan it out.
I have no idea why those specific pills are the ones they're marketing. Who could possibly be their target audience?
What's super awesome too is he often goes on jags about how like he turns down sponsors. It's like, you don't. You fucking don't.
I guarantee he does. He only advertises products he uses.
Right.
Which he God, he needs that.
And formerly
ultra,
gold.
Ultra male. Formerly gold.
Well, he used to hawk gold real hard, but that was because he was on the GSN network.
Okay.
Which is the Genesis GCN, Genesis Communication Network.
Did he leave them because they became the Genocide Communication Network?
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny it.
Under the palm of George Soros.
Well, I just.
Coming just for Netanyahu.
Just to be clear, the. GCN was owned by Gold Consortium. So when he was, I think he still is broadcast by them, but now they've shifted over to this weird health food stuff.
Okay.
So he used to be hawking gold, and now, they sell all this weird, you know, all your body really needs is a couple of these minerals.
Which totally is true.
Right. It's all sold by this guy named Dr. Wallach, who's actually, if you actually look into
Dr. Wallach.
He's a veterinarian.
Who knows better what will affect the human body than somebody who kills pets?
Than a dog doctor.
Yeah.
He's like a new age doctor and veterinarian.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah.
So never would have guessed.
If you look up the people who used to sell gold, their website now goes to his weird health food stuff. I've already complained.
That
I've screamed about
Doctor,
him for like half
that
an
has
hour.
Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock written all over
100%.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to parsing.
Right. All right. So my favorite thing that he said right there is George Soros got a taste from World War II Nazi Germany.
Yes.
He got a taste of genocide. What were camps?
Rounding up Jews.
He said. And he's a Jew.
Are you aware of where that comes from? Where what he's referencing?
No.
Okay, so he references this all the time, and in the same way when he talks about Nazi collaborator George Soros, it's the same thing. It's another epithet.
Okay.
It sticks in your head easily.
Right.
So back back years ago, there was George Soros was interviewed on 60 Minutes, and he was being interviewed by what's this guy's name? Croft. Can't remember Croft's first name. Who cares?
I remember Steve. Him from the Croft Nixon interview.
Yes, Steve Croft is interviewing him. I will read you the transcript of that interview because I don't want to play the audio.
Right.
I just don't want to pull up more shit that I don't have ready. You're a Hungarian Jew. Mm-hmm. Who escaped the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. By posing as a Christian. Right. And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps. Right. I was 14 years old, and I would say that that's when my character was made. In what way? That one should think ahead. One should understand and anticipate events. And when one is threatened, it was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal threat of evil. My understanding is that you went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews. Soros. Yes, that's right. Yes. I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to a psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult? No, not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child you don't see the connection, but it created no problem at all. No feeling of guilt? No. For example, that I'm Jewish and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be these. I should be here. I should be there. None of that? And his response, well, of course. I could be on the other side, or I could be one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was, well, actually, in a funny way, it's just like in the markets. That is, if I weren't there, of course, I wasn't doing this, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. And it was whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator. The property was being taken away, so I had no role in taking that property away, so no sense of guilt.
Okay, so this interview.
Yes.
Alex Jones has taken a survival story.
Yes.
Where it seems like Soros clearly dissociated
a bit
from his own personal identity as a measure of survival.
Yes.
He survives.
Yes.
He was harrowing.
His father hid him with a Christian gentleman who was responsible for when Jews were taken away, they would catalog their belongings. It was thieving or whatever, but
right.
You got to imagine if you're a 14-year-old kid, your primary concern is making sure no one finds out you're a Jew.
Right.
Because you will be murdered.
And also, where do you masturbate?
Sure. Or pee.
Yeah. Right.
Beyond that, even
Jewish pee is different and they could smell it
dicks.
Out.
The dicks. The dicks. Are different.
So circumcision is the main selling point for Jews. Everybody,
I don't know if I'd call it selling point.
I shouldn't have said selling point. I should have said catching point or something. So something along those lines.
There was another quote that was about that time in his life. It was actually probably the happiest year of my life, that year of German occupation. For me, it was a very positive experience. It's strange. I think it says sage, but I think he meant strange. It's a strange thing because you see incredible suffering around you and the fact that you're in considerable danger yourself. But you're 14 years old and you don't believe that it can actually touch you. You have a belief in yourself. You have a belief in your father. It's a very happy-making, exhilarating experience. So Alex Jones in particular takes these quotes to twist it to be like the happiest time in his life was when he was helping Hitler round up Jews.
Right.
Which is false on two counts. And I don't believe that Alex doesn't know that.
Okay.
He's citing these things.
Yeah, my first reaction on hearing that is, that's some crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly he's rich enough to be honest, which, If he was not, like, imagine him as an actor saying that nonsense, he would be pilloried for weeks.
Undoubtedly.
Right? So he's rich enough to be like, hey, this was a hugely formative experience in my life. It is one of the most tragic things that's ever happened. And somehow, because of the strange circumstances that I was in, it wound up being a positive experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
now,
think about how many people
clearly means that he was in cahoots with Hitler himself,
right,
and is trying to destroy the Jewish state.
And because he was so happy then, he wants to recreate it.
Yeah. Well,
100%.
I mean, I remember growing up whenever I was being beaten regularly. It was an exhilarating experience.
Well, exhilarating is some weird definitions.
That, no, it's an exhilarating experience,
sure,
and I constantly try and recreate it. Psychologically, that's unimpeachable logic.
But the traumas that we have in our lives, often if you have undergone some analysis, some therapy, you don't necessarily think of them as horrible times in your life. Bumps and bruises make you stronger. There are tons of people who talk.
As do Holocausts.
Well, I mean, you're not responsible often for the cards you're dealt.
Whatever doesn't put you in an oven makes you stronger.
Sure. Now, if someone does.
That is the end of this podcast. We made it through one episode.
If someone does an after show of our after show, they're going to take that clip now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still think that is a piece of advice. You can take it or leave it.
So this really bothers me quite a bit because most of the, like, I'm not here to stand up for George Soros and say he's the best man in the world, but this idea of painting him as a Nazi collaborator is incredibly irresponsible. And the fact that I'm 100% sure that Alex Jones has watched the clips from that doc, or has watched that interview, has seen these things, he knows what he was talking about. The fact that he chooses to paint it as he was helping round up Jews means that he's spinning a false narrative for a reason.
Right.
And that bothers me a lot.
Okay, so that puts us into lying territory versus deceiving territory.
Yes, propaganda territory.
Right. Now, the other part of this that I love about him, and you're absolutely right about him being a great broadcaster, at no point in his entire show, I'm imagining, does he ever actually get into why he would want this to happen?
Barely, right? If ever.
Right. So he leaves it to your own imagination to make these connections of, oh, well, clearly, if he survived the Holocaust, he also
loved it.
Which is also a great movie title, Surviving the Holocaust and Loving It.
Dracula, Surviving the Holocaust and Loving It.
Leslie Nielsen as a slapstick young George Soros, but still that same age.
He went too young, that Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. He can't play it that young.
No.
He's a great actor, but...
I think he's dead.
He is dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'd be even better at it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get... Because we already got sidetracked. He's a genius.
Yeah.
We already got sidetracked onto the nonsense he said.
But did you notice?
Instead of responding to the nonsense he said.
But you noticed that on the way to the, you know, the stuff talking about George Soros, there was like...
Oh, there's 30 different mismatch. Yeah. He was throwing it at the wall. He's throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks.
The stuff that he was talking about, Bibi Netanyahu, was...
Oh, he's the best.
Apparently, the police questioned him over some corruption stuff that day on the second. I'm having difficult times finding independent corroboration of that being anything serious. It's difficult to say, but it does feed into the narrative that they already have built up with the United States has turned their back on Israel with the sitting out of the UN vote.
Yeah, and the $35 billion.
$38 billion. In military aid.
Right.
It's a very, like, I believe, here, my position on that is Israel is an incredibly complicated situation that I don't understand all the ins and outs of.
Right.
I do believe the Palestinians have rights. How about that? How does that grab you?
I don't know. George Soros agrees with that, and I feel like you're wrong there.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. George Soros is against rounding up. What? Ooh. The thing that... Before... Now I'm pissed off.
Also,
I just got hit with him saying that China and Saudi Arabia are on the same team.
Well, beyond that, also, globalists are Islamists.
Well, yeah, no, that we can skip over because that's obvious.
Okay, so China,
as everybody knows, Islamists are all for global relations.
Well, part of this anti-globalist sort of narrative, one of the necessary pieces of it is that they have to create their own like axis of evil.
Right.
And for them, in order to make Russia
okay, and it's
okay,
super weird that they are calling themselves the axis of evil. That's a big tip off if the globalists are like, oh, we're totally evil.
Oh, yeah. We're super. Yeah. I'm an evil Dr. Evil.
Right.
I believe
exactly.
That's how Alex Jones refers to
again,
Soros.
Again, I feel like he doesn't know Dr. Evil is fictional. He's giving me the Dr. Evil doesn't know he's fictional vibe.
So he, like, the the alliance there, in order to make Russia okay, is
right.
China, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, and you know, some other countries.
Right.
But those are the ones that are like the big problems, especially communist China. Those are the people we have to be worried about, just so Russia is cool.
Because
Putin just wants prosperity.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also Putin's country is turning into a shithole. That he's rampantly doing everything he can to direct every possible attention away from the fact that Russia's economy is garbage right
in
now.
The toilet.
Yeah, and it has been for
Alex
like 10
Jones
years.
Alex Jones even brings that up, but he uses it as a deflection away from Russian tampering and hacking and stuff like that. He's like, how can they do anything? They have the GDP of Italy.
All right.
Like, well, yeah, but
that's a solid deflection.
Yeah, but also Putin probably has like $200 billion or something like that. There's a lot
personally,
of people hiding a lot of money.
I can't imagine.
The fact that the GDP is that low doesn't mean that there aren't the resources. Like, there's a lot of dark money.
Like some of that money that went to that Olympic stadium and the roads that were never actually built. Somebody got all that money.
Yeah.
Communist China got all that money.
Absolutely.
That's what we know. Mm-hmm. Communist China and Saudi Arabia conspired to
with North
steal
Korea.
Sochi Olympics?
I guess.
What are we going with here?
I don't know.
All right.
This is a conspiracy we're all not right. going to be able to flesh out.
Communist China and Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Did he plan to say that?
Probably not.
Has he said that before?
Not
has he ever combined communist China and Saudi Arabia?
Only as people he doesn't like. I think that he mad libs that one.
Yeah, he had to have just I mean, even he,
was, he
when
what,
he
you
re-listened to that show, he was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
I think it was that the spirit got good to him. And he was just like, it was like, all right, well, these words are coming out, whatever.
Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Tell me who I'm against.
Which is a perfect transition to this next clip.
Excellent.
So I think
our segues are dominant.
This might be one of my favorite clips, and I don't want to do any setup.
Too much
ladies and gentlemen,
air.
That's what I said last week. I said, if they kill Netanyahu or something, you know World War III is about to happen. Well, here it is. And I told you they're really thinking about arresting Trump. They're really thinking about fault. Remember all those rape charges and pedophile charges that were always fake names and were never true? And
that's not entirely accurate.
No,
Paul got dropped as soon as he won, claiming Jerry Epstein connections to him when it was really to Clinton and Hillary.
And to both of them, really.
See, everything they're doing, they say we're doing. So now, this is Zero Hedge. Israeli police internet Yahoo's home for questioning over corruption allegation. Boy, you talk about canary in the coal mine. The globalists wouldn't move against Netanyahu, as WikiLeaks shows they're planning to do via Soros, if they weren't planning to have people ready to imprison him or kill him if he starts trying to spill the beans on stuff. Because Netanyahu's been involved in everything. Good, bad, ugly, you name it. And if they move against Netanyahu, that means they're moving against Trump. Bet your bottom buck. Woo! Red alert, red alert, red alert. This is getting crazy. This is so freaking out of control. It's time to pray. Our Heavenly Father, please help us.
No!
Please protect the children.
How dare
please
you?
Please protect the children!
How dare you get in the way of his prayer?
I'm sorry.
I have to go back now.
I'm sorry.
This is on air.
Start the prayer again.
And when he does that, it's time to pray. He immediately like puts his hand over his face and acts like he's gonna cry. It's astounding.
This is so freaking out of control. It's time to pray. Our Heavenly Father, please help us open our eyes. Please help us be good. We're so sorry for all the abortions and all the evil in our name. Please protect the children. Please reprieve us if it's in your will. Please somehow stop the evil forces that are trying to stop this miracle that you've given us. Please help there be peace in the Middle East. Please stop those who are trying to overthrow Israel and start World War III and bring in Armageddon. Please give us a reprieve like Nineveh so that we have time to wake people up and reach out to those that are still in darkness and deceived. Please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, lead, God, and direct us. Amen. And I don't do that for show, folks. I don't even want to be here. I am so upset right now that my head is burning. I am sweating, even though it's like 65 degrees in here. I am so pissed.
Well, he might be sweating in 65-degree temperatures because he's taking too much goddamn super male vitality. It's entirely possible, or that he's coked out. I have no idea. But
first thing you say after publicly praying is, I don't do that for show.
Right.
On your literal show.
Yeah.
You're doing that for show.
You're 100% doing it for show.
But I would listen to any techno remix of It's Time to Pray. It's Time to Pray.
What a showman.
God, like, that's so good.
I want to be super clear about this, too. I don't mean to beat up on religion. I don't want to mock someone just for being religious. Religion is a great thing when used right. Like, it does bring a lot of meaning to a lot of people's lives, and hooray. But I do take great issue with the idea that it's, you know, it's being used to, you know, basically... for show.
Yeah, well, I mean, just the fact that you responded that way
means it's time to pray.
Dear God.
Dear God, I just want to...
I'm so sorry about abortions.
Why did he start with abortions? Where did that come from?
Well,
this is a stream of consciousness rant. Okay.
But it's gorgeous,
let's start
right?
At the beginning.
Gorgeous, right?
Why is Netanyahu the canary in the coal mine?
Because once they come for Israel, that means Trump's next.
Yeah, but why would you go for Israel first?
There's an internal logic to it that's never explained.
But, okay. So, you're coming for Netanyahu.
Because he's got all the dirt. He knows the good and bad things that everyone's done, so you gotta take him out first so he can't spill the beans.
So, again, the good, the bad, the ugly, he's got all of it.
Yes.
Where, why, and how did he get any of it?
He's been around the game forever, so he has all
of
it.
But that's not a thing that, you can't just say, I've been around the game, so I know the secrets of every nation on the planet.
Yeah, but you can, if no one...
That's a good
calls
point.
You on it.
That's a I here is the fundamental disconnect is that I feel like before I say something, I should have at least the barest understanding of why that thing is occurring.
Uh-huh. So like when you make a public claim.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if it's dumb and relatively uninformed, I've got a reason for thinking it, you know?
Even if you're saying it as a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Even then, well, before we go any further, it's time to pray. That's never
already not, two never, awesome sound drops.
Never not going to be funny.
I love you.
It's time to pray.
Oh, God. That song is amazing.
When I was watching this, I lost my shit at work at that moment. Like, I was just like... Like, if I were writing a character, I couldn't come up with something funnier than yelling about how World War III is coming,
right.
Taking a long pause. It's time to pray.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, before we go any further.
Ending it with defending praying.
Right.
Amazing.
No, not defending praying.
Right.
Saying that it is not for show.
Oh, by the way, this is a
100%... genuine need to pray moment.
By the way, that's sincere, folks.
Have you ever... Also, that's a super professional wrestling move. You can see somebody walking into the ring and being like, hey, before we wrestle, it's time to pray.
No. It would have to be like, now, the Undertaker's been trying to get me for years now. There's a cabal. He's got an evil group. Maybe we call them the Ministry of Darkness. And they're gonna come get me. We're talking about Viscera. We're talking about the big boss man. And once you get Viscera out, that's the canary in the coal mine. And Undertaker's coming for me. It's time to pray.
It's time to pray. Ugh.
Because you gotta say all the negative stuff first.
I am going to hear that 10 million times before I go to sleep tonight.
I'll send you an isolated clip.
Oh God. Anytime I am in a bad move, I will just pull that up on my phone and be like, oh no, life is good.
Yeah.
Okay. So here
thoughts.
We go. They're coming for Netanyahu first, and if they get to Netanyahu first, that's not going to be enough to destabilize everything.
No.
You got to then go after Trump.
Right.
Why are those two connected? Or how are those two connected?
I feel like it's so implied. I don't know why you're such a libtard.
Have they ever met?
Yeah, of course.
When?
Of course.
Okay, so they've never met. Has Trump ever stated before any positive feelings towards Israel?
I think he's tweeted a bunch, and he spoke at AIPAC. He's come out in favor of Israel.
But we're all in favor of Israel.
He's also said some negative things about Obama's handling of, you know, like backing away from Israel in the UN vote.
Right.
Like, I believe, what was his tweet? Like, hey, hold tight. The, like, everything's going to be different after the 20th.
Right.
Which was both in reference to Russia and to
right.
Israel.
Which is, it is nice that they have the luxury of being like, hey, we can weather the next 20 days because eventually we've got Trump who's just going to do whatever it is we say, basically.
Sure. He's a weird, undefined variable that'll right. do whatever we want.
Okay. Yeah. So, but then let's, here's the thing that drives me insane.
Your prediction was right. This show is going to be 2 hours long.
Yeah. Does anybody ever war games this? Right?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, okay. So they kill Netanyahu.
So you're asking, do we ever AB this thing?
Right.
Like, what happens next?
Kill Netanyahu.
Uh-huh.
Or what happens?
No, not necessarily that. You could just Shanghai him somewhere.
Right.
You could just rendition his ass.
Well, you could, I don't know, arrest him on corruption charges
that
you trumped up.
Right. But then at the same time, if the whole thing is that he's got tons of dirt, you would have to kill him, right? I mean, based on what he's saying,
yeah.
In order for the narrative
Unless
Alex Jones is spinning.
He kept that dirt in a digital Dropbox.
Could be.
Then you can find it.
Or take out his neck. Like, just kill him, but make it so he can't talk.
Okay, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Like Roadhouse, they're gonna rip his throat out.
And then that'll be a message to anyone else who wants to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless he has access to a computer.
Or paper. Yeah.
Or a typewriter.
A lot of possibilities.
So you gotta cut off his
hands.
You gotta cut off his hands and feet. Because you can learn how to write with your feet.
And they're in league with the Saudi Arabians who are notorious for cutting off hands.
Right.
Or at least they were in the movie Aladdin.
Right. But, you also then have to remove his eyes because some people can text to type with their
eyes. Oh, that guy wrote that whole book with his eyes.
Right, exactly. So you got to remove those.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately,
what about toes?
We've already removed his feet.
Okay.
I've already established that we're removing his feet.
I missed that thinking about the man from Alibaba.
Right.
Aladdin.
Prince Ali.
Alibaba.
Why did they blatant? Mm. Okay. All right. Let's get rid of the whole Alex Jones angle and go directly into this podcast is about the movie
Aladdin.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But then we also have the technology now where we can read brain scans and turn that into type.
Right.
It's still in infancy stages, but I'm assuming if you know everything about everybody,
right.
You got an in.
We're coming
there.
Full circle now.
He's been there for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's gotta be murder then.
Yeah, it's gotta be murder.
Okay, so then your war game scenario,
right.
You've gotta murder
So
BB.
You murder Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And then Israel is...
What?
Yeah. And so, but even then, if they murder Netanyahu.
Who's the next leader waiting in the wings? It's not someone who has any different philosophies.
Right. And let me ask you a question. Is that our job or is it Alex Jones's job to know who the next person in line?
It's certainly not mine. I'm not making any claims.
Frankly, I don't know many of my aldermen. Let's put it that way. I know almost none of them.
I've recently found out who my representatives are because I have felt the need to call them.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that we can learn, it's don't call Alex Jones.
No.
Call your state representative.
But if you do call Alex Jones and you tell him you love him.
I love you.
I love you.
I wish that the caller had been like, I know you do. That would have been gorgeous.
He pulls the whole Empire Strikes Back move.
Yeah. So there are, there are people calling in. You mentioned that. So
right.
You might be asking yourself about this time, who listens to the Alex Jones show?
People who need virility pills.
Certainly. If you want a discount on boner pills. I think it's boner pills, right?
Yeah, it's boner. It's
super male vitality.
Virility or vitality is boner pills.
He talks about how, like, you get your libido going. It's
yeah.
like that. It's got to be. I don't know if it is, but I think it might be boner pills.
It has to be.
But
it might just be like a shit ton of testosterone.
I've done some research on Quantcast and Alexa.
Don't know what that is.
They're two websites that are basically they keep statistics on websites for advertising purposes.
Okay.
So if you want to sell ads, you can quote your Quantcast rating and stuff like that.
Right.
I've done some research on what kind of traffic his website actually gets.
Okay.
And it's substantially lower than he says.
Can't imagine how that would occur.
There are, like, he generally has
Are you saying he exaggerates or perhaps outright lies about something?
Yeah. If you go, he has like 200,000 to 300,000 hits a day, unique hits on his website, which is still great.
That is pretty good.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But then whenever, like, a cop is killed, it goes up to about 1 million.
Of course.
Because, you know, you're getting all that viral content out there. And
right.
You're reeling in the racists with
right.
the thug cop killer narratives and... That there, drives a lot of traffic.
It
but
is,
you can see
yeah.
you can see spikes in his traffic whenever and like, oh, let's Google that date, see what happened. It's like, oh, boom, okay. That was that when Dallas happened, you know, shit like that. But
which was also a false flag operation initiated by Hillary Clinton and the globalists.
Absolutely.
She put that into her digital Dropbox. WikiLeaks found it. Uh-huh. They all know that the plot to kill Netanyahu is orchestrated by communist China and Islamist Saudi Arabia working in concert to put this all together. And who is behind both of those?
Soros.
Soros!
The Nazi-loving Jew.
And now, actually, also, I think this podcast just ended because I nailed it. I got
also, Soros is claimed to be fund. I mean, he does donate to Black Lives Matter. He does support that group, but they act like because he gives money to help that cause that they're his goon squad, kind of.
Yep.
It's insane and very racist. But anyway.
I buy it.
You're asking yourself this question, who's listening? And Alex has a couple answers for you.
Okay.
For our next clip, who is listening? Who's listening to this show?
Doesn't Hillary know when she attacks me? And when they say I'm all these bad things and lie about me and have all their paid shills put out all this info? Don't they know that only
he
makes
was so close to guessing a name. He was so close to just making up any name for paid shills.
Oh,
he's
like an organization?
They're paid shills and then pauses and you're like, oh no, it left me. I can't say Saudi Arabia again.
He could have just as easily said correct the record. Like that.
Oh,
Hillary,
absolutely.
That, I mean, that was something that was proven.
Absolutely.
But he could have thrown that out there. Would have been easy. Throw Media Matters under the bus if you want.
Yeah, but he's had a long day. Okay. I will give him that.
I think those two things are also too related to Pizzagate now, and I don't think he wants to touch that one.
Yeah, was that his fault indirectly? Is that where did he start the whole Pizzagate thing, or was it a random tweet that he turned into the echo chamber?
I think that after that guy showed up at that pizza place with a gun, it was a hot potato, and he had to drop it. They had to clean the website of all of the mentions of it.
They got rid of all of it.
Well, not all of it, but all of their like main reporting on it. All of the stuff where he was talking about it being something that needs to be investigated and citizen investigators should do something about it.
That's,
shit like that.
So
the shit like that
he
magic.
He said the things that happened and then he was like, ooh, I wish they hadn't happened.
And the guy, Joe Biggs, was a guy who used to work for him and he got fired around the same time and he was on the Pizzagate beat. So there's a little bit of suspiciousness. They've both put out videos talking about how, like, no, I didn't get fired. I'm going on to bigger and better things. I got movies I'm writing. And we'll see. Maybe that's the case. I don't know.
That is classic. I got fired from the TV show. You know, it was time for me to move on. I feel like my future is in feature films.
Yeah.
I've already had a couple of meetings. I won't tell you who they're with.
Nope.
But, you know, and frankly, it's really just about me. I've made all of my money.
It rhymes with Barbie Barnstein.
I don't even care if I meet with George Soros about producing these films.
The thing that made it stink to high heaven was Alex put out a video where he was talking about how talented Joe Biggs was and stuff like that. It's like, dude, you're the canary in the coal mine now. Now, you're saying this. I know it's not true.
Right.
He has dirt on you.
Right. I love you.
It's time to pray. Let's watch the rest of this clip. Here we go.
And I don't even mean the general public. The general public's important, and they're somewhat awake now. But the people that do the hanging, the military, the police, the bureaucrats, the judges, the lawyers, the Congress people, they all listen. The Russian government listens. The British government listens. The Israeli government listens. The Pakistani government listens. The Japanese government listens. The communist Chinese listen and hate my guts. Because they know, folks, this is the real place. I don't want to differentiate myself and say this is the only place you really get information of this magnitude. It's the only place you get it this strong, this focused, this dedicated, this continual. We don't take breaks around here. I don't.
I would like to point out, after him saying he doesn't take breaks, he had someone else host the fourth hour of the show. So, and he pretty routinely has people host the fourth hour.
Well,
so.
And he also doesn't want to say that, you know, he's putting himself as the only voice, but, you know.
But I'm the only voice.
He's the only voice.
Yeah. That's
I don't want to say it. I'll let other people say it for me, specifically the Pakistani government.
That's an amazing level of narcissism.
Question. Does he know who anyone in the Pakistani government?
Maybe one guy.
All right. I don't know. Does he know the capital of Pakistan?
Khartoum? I don't know. Is that right?
I have no idea. I don't know the capital of Pakistan.
That's a capital of something.
That I thought you said cartoon and we're back on Aladdin. So there's that.
Ali Ababa. Now, that might
I'm pretty sure he's from Pakistan.
That might be racist. It's not racist.
It's not racist. It's getting there.
I know I took a geography class in high school, and I know like four state or country capitals still. And that's it. I don't know Pakistan's. I don't remember. Because right. It's not fun to say.
No.
Burkina Faso's capital? Ouagadougou.
That's pretty fun to
so
say.
So fun.
That is fun to say.
Madagascar? Antananarivo.
Oh, yeah, I know Antananarivo.
So fun.
It features heavily in the Civilization games.
Honduras? Tegucigalpa.
Really?
I might be out.
That is good.
That's my high
so,
school.
So none of the big ones? None of...
Like what? I know Brazil is Brasilia, right?
Don't know.
Okay.
I mean, like, European nations...
Like, which ones?
Well, I mean, pick...
Name one.
France?
That's Paris. You're rolling your eyes. You have no
is
idea.
Is that the capital?
Probably.
I don't know.
I think it is.
Feel like it's the same way where people are like.
What do you think the capital is? Lyon?
The capital of California is L.A.
No, it's Sacramento. We all know that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we don't all know that.
Some of us do.
Some of us do.
You know who doesn't want you to know that? The globalists.
That's true.
So actually, Alex has.
Or Saudi Arabia? Alex, or the Pakistani government? Definitely not the communist Chinese. Before we do anything, can we go back to the list? Just
yes.
Isolate the list.
Let's see if I can
because
find
the next time we record, I'm going to have to
Hillary
take notes.
Does Hillary know when she attacks me?
Oh, do you want me to play it or are you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Isolate just the clip
the
of him listing
the
who's
police,
people.
The bureaucrats, the judges,
no,
the
hold
lawyers,
up. Before that,
the
go back one second.
They all listen.
The people that, who do the hanging.
The people who do the hanging.
Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean?
I think it means people who are hanging out. I hope.
I fucking hope. That can't mean the people who do the hanging.
Like, I think he's talking about stringing people up.
Yeah, he very
Which
nearly said lynching.
Yeah.
Now.
No. Let's not, I mean.
Well, that would be racially charged.
And I want to defend Alex when it's appropriate, and that's not fair of you. He wasn't going to say lynching. And the
no,
only
you're right.
I
he wasn't
to
going to it, but yeah.
Because like,
I was pulling that.
That would be ascribing racism in a situation where he's just being wacky.
You're absolutely right.
And he is wrong.
Yes.
But
so,
also, the
so
people who do the hanging
the
still makes no sense.
The people who do the hanging are the military, the police.
Uh-huh.
So he starts with those as the people who do the hanging.
The judges, the bureaucrats.
The lawyers.
But I think he has to mean
the
that.
The government, the Pakistani government, the communist Chinese, who hate him.
Right.
I like how he singled them out for hating him.
But they listen.
Like, the Pakistani government is like, eh, we like that guy.
Also,
he's a pretty cool dude.
The implication seems to me to be that, like, all 10,000 people who work in government listen to him.
Yeah.
No fucking way they get any work done if they're listening 4 hours a day to his pill ads.
They have to. They have to listen to him.
The only
because
place.
He's the only place. He doesn't want to say it.
Yeah.
But he is the only place that gives it to you this focused.
Well, I think, look.
Which is my favorite thing he said. This focused.
Yeah, well, he's not focused at all.
As he's just rambling on about different, all the governments uh-huh. that he knows were in that list.
If we keep doing this, I will make a supercut of all the times he says, I've got to get to this story, and then not get to it. Because it happens 10 times a day, at least.
But see, that's another brilliant move, because
sure.
it builds you up. Uh-huh. It does the same thing that mm-hmm. local news always does, where yeah. it's like, this story is about kittens. Stay tuned. Are your children dying? You know, yeah. like that kind of a thing.
Yeah. There's a comedian named Ron Ramey who would do a similar trick rhetorically on stage.
Yeah.
He would do like a, I gotta go. Like this sort of thing that teased, like, he's going to be leaving any minute now.
Right.
So we got to pay attention to this guy before he goes. It's the same thing. It's like
in the first 5 minutes of a 45-minute.
Yeah. And then but by the time you caught on to it, you liked the trick.
Right.
So it becomes like, he's not going to leave, but we like this. It's the same thing.
It's
like,
a call and response kind of.
I've got so much to get to.
Right.
I got this big story here.
Right.
And you never get to it. You just have more fucking pill ads. But listen, Jordan, I feel like you don't believe that these people listen to his show. And for your bitch ass, Alex has some more words.
I am suspicious, but let's see where we go.
Well said. You know, there's a new Washington Post article by their editor saying Trump reading InfoWars can tank markets, start wars, basically. Well, we put that headline back up. They're getting ready to tank the markets. They're raising interest rates to tank the markets. They're getting ready to knock out the power grid. They're going to blame Trump. They're going to blame the Russians. Everything they do, everything they blame us of is what they're really planning. And Washington Post editor, Trump reading InfoWars.
I want to take a break really quick to point this out, that he says that all the fucking time.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that the inverse is true.
Well, yeah.
Whatever it's they very say obvious. We're doing is what they're doing.
Right.
When it's like, it kind of feels like that applies to you.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah. It reminds me of when my brother would do something when we were kids and then accuse me of doing it to our parents.
Right.
Like, it reminds me of very adolescent bullying techniques. Then he brings this up over and over and over and over again. This, like, idea that the globalists accuse him of the things they're doing. It's insane. Whatever. Anyway. So Trump reads InfoWars.
Trump reads InfoWars to tank the markets.
Tank markets, invite incursions. Why do you think Trump reads InfoWars? Let me just go ahead and tell the mainstream media, because they don't seem to figure it out. It's not just Flynn that listens and reads InfoWars. It's all of them dummies. I'm not bragging. And by the way, the generals don't learn anything from me. There's only a couple websites like WorldNet Daily, DrudgeReport.com, Breitbart, and InfoWars that they can go read that they know are real. You understand that, dumbass? Excuse me. I'm sorry. God, I apologize. I'm not trying to be like that. I'm so angry, folks. I don't have my normal filters, okay? And I start thinking about the New World Order, and I get really angry. The generals all listen, stupid. The foreign governments listen, stupid. Because they know we know what we're talking about. We're dead on.
Can't
I don't
have
say that from some
on.
Ego perspective. I wish
he
I was wrong.
Would.
He also says that a lot. I wish
would
I was wrong.
Never say it from an ego perspective.
No. He's not doing this for show.
No.
Yeah. I wish I was wrong is like almost like a hook on his rap song. I wish I was wrong. And then, I mean, if you want to, guys, if
Nate
you're listening.
Nate Dogg came to life to sing the hook on that.
I wish I was wrong. Go to YouTube and just search Alex Jones failed predictions. And there's wonderful compilations of like 100 times he's been so fucking wrong about everything. The idea
then
of,
his wish come true.
We should all be so lucky.
Right? His wishes are, he's.
Also, everyone, if you hear my voice, I don't want to play it on the show, although maybe one time we should do it for a special episode.
Okay.
Do yourselves a favor and go fucking listen to the Y2K episode of Alex Jones' show. It's on YouTube.
There was a Y2K. He's been doing this for how long?
Like 25 years.
Holy goddamn shit.
Yeah, so on December 31st, 1999, he was creating a panic and trying to get people to riot, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah, he was feeding into a lot of like real horrible paranoia. And what's interesting now, he talks about how like Russia is, you know, sort of good guys.
Right.
And he's on board with Russia.
As we all know, they are.
In his Y2K broadcast, he's talking about how Putin, this guy Putin the Ruthless, is evil. He's talking all this shit on this guy who, you know, flash forward 17 years.
17 years is a long time, number one.
Right.
Now, number two, here is my favorite thing about the Russian paranoia right now. Because that is, like, the flip on that was so fast.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, the right wing was crazy. Like, the moment the Cold War ended, they wanted to start a new Cold War.
Uh-huh.
So now, because of the whole Trump thing, now, Democrats are all on this, oh, Russia tampered with the election, and they probably did in some fashion.
Sure.
Whether or not it was like a direct thing or an indirect thing. The one problem I have with it all is that just like he says, we've done all the same shit, man. America's done all of that.
We've done worse, probably.
Yeah, well,
we've deposed governments.
We've deposed many governments.
Unjustified wars, but we...
Yeah. Like, there's a reason the term Banana Republic was not invented by the wonderful clothing store.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. It is because we overthrew a few governments for, you know, art corporations to sell bananas. Yeah.
For Chiquita.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Dole.
So I get where they're coming from, but, and it's always worse when it happens to you.
Yes.
But it's such a hugely hypocritical concept.
Well, the difference is, I think you and I would be fair about that, is that we recognize that the government has done very horrible things. But I also, I would take the side that it is worse that it's happening to us. Because if we're gone, or if we're in some weird flux state,
right,
it does destabilize things a great deal.
Right, absolutely.
Now, I don't think that it, you know, given the entire stretch of history and how long the world is, essentially, the time of the world is.
Well, 6,000 years.
Sure.
And if you don't believe that, it's time to pray.
It's time to pray. we will have to go down at some point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's natural. You know, kingdoms come and go, as
yeah,
it were.
Well, and we're clearly tearing ourselves down as we speak.
Sure. I mean, what is it? The average lifespan of every sort of kingdom or big colonial power is about 200 years, and then it starts to fall apart, basically? Isn't that the sort of guideline?
You know, I couldn't say because, you know, the big histories are written about people who lasted, you know, 1,000 years or whatever it is.
But even those ones have discrete periods within them.
Oh, absolutely.
So there, but all I mean,
like, if you want to go through the history of Chinese government, that is one of the most fascinating,
sure,
you know.
The Three Kingdoms
the different,
period.
Yeah, the different dynasties, the Zhou, the Qin, like, that's all good stuff.
Which we don't respect at all as history because it's so weird and different to us.
No, I don't like it. Because it's interesting, but it's not about us.
Right.
You know?
Right, but because they're the communist Chinese.
Also, if you were to learn anything about history, you would then have to apply it to now. And that would mean changing a lot of the ways you think about stuff.
It also requires you to load in a bit of empathy.
Yeah, I'm way against that.
That's troubling to some.
Well, see, because if you're empathetic, you know, then what they're doing is everything that you're doing.
Yeah. I would say that no matter what, I still don't want us to go down right now because it would be very unpleasant for me.
Yeah, I mean,
if it has to happen, let it happen after I'm dead. I'm not going to have any kids.
I do think there is a part of mortality where it is like, you know, if I have to die, I feel like everybody should go with me, right?
Well, sure. I mean, I remember when I used to smoke a lot of weed, me and a couple friends would sit around, and one of the things we always were like super fascinated by is the idea of being able to see the end. Like, what a privilege that would be to be one of the humans who gets to see it all end.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
There's something to be said for that, but I still don't want it.
No.
I'd rather live.
You know,
I'm like 90.
Right. It would be good to already be dying, and then everything else starts dying too. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, that'd be boss.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another narrative piece back to, in the same vein as the George Soros thing.
Now, hold up 1 second.
Sorry.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
Here is why Trump reads InfoWars was never answered. He brought up, here's why Trump did this, then immediately switched over to Flynn.
Yeah.
I am so mad. He's supposed to answer why, and I want to know.
You know why? Because, again, the spirit got too good to him.
Yeah.
It's this thing that gets in him. The boogie-woogie bandit comes in and takes over.
But I would have accepted literally any explanation.
He can't fucking explain why Trump listens because it's too important to let you know that everyone listens,
right.
Dummy.
Well, okay, that's true.
Dummy, you dumb person.
But he could have made up anything, and because it's Trump, I probably would have been, at the very least, entertained that notion.
Sure. Should be like, hey, you know why he listens? We gave him a free password.
Yeah, or not even that. Just like, do you know why he listens? Because everybody's got to read something on the toilet every day. Like, I don't know.
That would be a real disappointing reveal.
Yeah, that's true. He would never reveal that.
He
You're
did
right.
say, you know, I'm going to tell you why he listens, and the mainstream media can't figure this out. So you do expect it's going to be something big.
Right.
I guess the answer is that he listens because everyone important listens.
Everyone important listens.
Yeah.
But that's
Dummy.
Not a why.
Dummy.
Unless you're saying it's like a peer pressure thing.
Well, no. I think you're being
even
unfair.
Then, Trump doesn't even go to intelligence briefings.
Nope, because he gets he needs.
And since they obviously listen to InfoWars.
Everyone does.
Wouldn't they be briefing him on InfoWars every day?
So far, the only person I have evidence doesn't listen to InfoWars, you.
From a very forensic standpoint, I guess you're correct there.
And my cat.
I guess you're correct.
I try and keep it away from her. She doesn't need this.
That's good. It's really stressful.
I think you're being slightly unfair. Just a tiny bit. Not very unfair, but I think you're being a tiny bit unfair because there is an implied answer in there.
Okay.
And that is that Zero Hedge, Breitbart, Drudge, and Alex Jones are the only people who give actual news.
Okay. So that's why Trump listens to InfoWars.
Yes.
Because he needs the actual news.
That's the implied answer to that question, which he doesn't really spell out, but he kind of does. That's another narrative that's going on. I was going to go to this other one about, I'm just going to cut this from the, what we need to cover, because I don't even need to play the audio. He just basically, says that recess appointment, like, it's about Merrick Garland being put into the Supreme Court as a recess appointment.
Rich, we can only goddamn hope.
I mean, I think so. It is the, or at least have a fair shot, you know, like, I would rather it go and be debated and what have you, but Alex's point is that it's now we're fucking talking about it, so I might as well play the clip.
Right.
All right. Because I don't want to act like I'm putting words in his mouth.
Right. Gotcha.
Now, this just broke. It's up on InfoWars.com. It's up on DrudgeReport.com. Obama still could force Merrick Garland onto the court during intercession recess. So, no president's ever done stuff like this, but they're talking about with 17 days left, not trying to force a new individual onto the Supreme Court.
So the part that's
definitely not true.
100%. George Washington made a recess appointment.
I don't remember that. That was clearly before the Constitution was written.
Presidents since George Washington have made recess appointments. Washington appointed South Carolina Judge John Rutledge as Chief Justice of the United States during a congressional recess in 1795.
He was still in the infancy. He was making some mistakes.
Because of Rutledge's political views and occasional mental illness, however, the Senate rejected his nomination and Rutledge attempted suicide and resigned.
I love American history so much.
Beyond that, New Jersey Judge William J. Brennan was appointed to the Supreme Court by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1956 by a recess appointment.
Never heard of him. Eisenhower.
George H.W. Bush appointed Lawrence Eagleburger as Secretary of State during a recess in 1992.
That was clearly too far back for Alex Jones to have read.
President Ronald Reagan made 240 recess appointments, an average of 30 per year. President H.W. Bush made 77 recess appointments, an average of...
Do you mean George W.?
H.W.
Oh, H.W.
Made 19 per year, basically 77 total. Bill Clinton made 139 recess appointments, an average of 17 per year. President George W. Bush made 171 recess appointments, an average of 21 per year. And as of January 5th, 2012, President Barack Obama had made 32, the least of anyone on this list, an average of 4.5 per year.
But that does not matter.
But there, like, that's,
all of the Obama information always winds up to being Obama's a dictator and he's doing this. But it's always the least of anybody else. That doesn't matter.
The least recess appointments, the least vacation days, all these things he's attacked for. It's like, no.
He played golf one time, so he's the worst.
The statistics don't match up. But the reason that I've included this in terms of this list of false narratives is
one quick question.
He can't not know the facts. He can't not know that.
I absolutely disagree.
No.
He absolutely does not know about recess appointments. I would guarantee that.
You think it's like you're telling a Supreme Court justice to go play Foursquare? You think that's what he thinks?
Well,
tetherball.
Did you say any, like, it was George Washington who did the Supreme Court?
The first one, yeah.
Were there any other Supreme Court other than Eisenhower?
I don't know. I didn't do a full investigation.
Because he's clearly not going to pay attention to any recess appointment that's not the Supreme Court.
But you could do any cursory amount of research and find these facts.
Yeah, but he's not going to...
He has a team.
Recess appointments are not going to be something that he researched.
He has a fucking team.
But they're not there to learn things. They're not there to develop a... what
truth?
Is it? No, not even that. They're there to develop a narrative.
Yes.
So their entire job is to filter out information that supports them from information that doesn't.
Right. I get you.
What gets to Alex Jones
uh-huh.
is probably more the former than the latter.
Yeah, but you undercut.
So you're telling me that Alex Jones is doing any of his own research.
I hope so. I hope some.
Do you believe that? Genuinely, you've listened to his show.
This is the hardest question I've ever been asked.
Do you truly believe that Alex Jones does his own research? Maybe he did way back when he didn't have the all-star team.
Yeah.
But now, has he done any research for the past 10 years?
It's tough to say. I in my heart of hearts, I have to believe he's done some, but not much.
When was the last full book that he finished? And I'm not saying that as like a dig for, oh, I read and other people don't. I'm just saying that he does a 4-hour show.
I would guess.
He has a all day thing. I very much doubt he has time to really go through all of this stuff.
Well, I would guess that, it's probably None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, the book that radicalized him in junior college.
That's true.
He's probably read that 100 times since then.
That's possible.
I bet that's the case. I mean, who knows?
But even then, and his team's research.
Yeah.
Is that, are they researching historians, or are they aggregating information that is on the internet?
And they're going to get yelled at if they come up with something that doesn't fit.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably.
If they say one part of the narrative.
We're assuming.
If they say one thing that doesn't fit the narrative, because that's...
Then they get fucking Joe Biggs out of there.
Right. Well, that's the thing. That is the situation with belief. Once you get to a certain point, you're building a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has to support that foundation. Otherwise, the whole thing, if you just one piece of information that doesn't support the narrative, and the whole thing goes down.
Right.
So even if, and again, even if he did discover that in his research, there is almost always going to be a part in his mind that turns that into something that actually supports his narrative.
I don't like that you're saying, because to mine ears, I hear this as a very positive statement about him.
How so?
Because what you're saying is he doesn't know that he's willfully deceiving about recess appointments.
I would argue that ignorance is far worse in a broadcast situation than direct lying.
No, I think direct lying is worse, because that means you're doing it for a reason. Like, do you agree with me?
But he is doing it for a reason.
But do you agree with me?
And he's getting paid well for it. It's a good gig.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how much he's making for those fucking weirdo pills.
The truth of broadcasters, and this is the way it is on TV, mm-hmm. and any kind of broadcaster, is if you listen to any of their, like, personal interviews, most of them imply, and some of them have said, you know, on a good day, I believe 40% of what I say.
Hmm.
That's the job. Maybe
podcasting's different. I believe pretty much everything I say.
Well, yeah, but we're not being paid a lot of money.
Nope, certainly not.
To say whatever it is we're told to say.
I wanted to make the premise of this show that we pretend that George Soros is paying us, but it's too late
now.
Ooh,
yeah, no, we've already... I've actually already kind of implied that George Soros did commit the entire Holocaust.
Okay, so it's time for a couple of grab bag clips.
Oh, God, we're going to need some music for that. We're going to need some Morning Zoo Crew, like,
one of these days I'll buy a soundboard and we'll just have all that.
Oh, the moment you do that, that's the end of this podcast. We're just going to play with the soundboard for the entire time.
So one of this, I don't remember exactly what these two clips are, but I know that the first one is offensive. So,
oh, God damn you, I love you.
Would you rather go...
I love you.
I love you. Would you rather go mystery first or offensive first?
You know what? I feel like we have to go offensive because we got to leave people with the mystery, right?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got you. Here you go. This is offensive.
Obama's refusal to veto anti-Israel UN vote ranked most anti-Semitic incident in 2016. You know, I don't want to say it's anti-Semitic, but funding jihadis all over the Middle East to kill every Christian they get a hold of is truly anti-Christian. And where are the Christians complaining about that? But I know this, it is anti-Israel to say turn it over to Palestinians, who, if they took it over, would never stop killing each other. They can't stop killing each other all over the Middle East. It's a joke. Clean up your own house before you run around lecturing the rest of the world, Muslims.
Wow.
All right, now,
in context.
Here is the absolute problem with that, is, yes, he characterized them as Muslims, all together.
No. aggressively
right, right. But
the way he said that,
but the problem,
Muslims.
But the problem, yeah, no, that's horrific. Get your own house in order, Muslims. And the Texas accent does not help his.
No, sir.
Even if you're doing your best to not view him as racist, the Texas accent really makes it hard.
Yeah.
But here is the problem with that, which there is a, if you learn the history of Islam, the Sunni Shia divide has been the source of so much violence. Now, whether or not that is any different from, you know, any number, like,
Protestants,
hey, let's
and Catholics.
Maybe talk about Ireland for one little second. And
sure.
Where are the Christians decrying that?
Yeah.
But when did he, the twist that he had was so genius.
Which was
and
that?
Then he hit it.
What are you talking about?
Immediately following the Muslims killing each other, or right before the Muslims killing each other, he had the perfect twist, which was implying that Obama was funding Islamists murdering Christians all throughout.
Oh,
right?
Well, that's a big narrative of his.
He said that, so he's saying that
George Soros,
the no vote on the UN was not necessarily anti-Semitic.
Right.
But the funding of Islamists murdering Christians all across the world is definitely anti-Christian,
which
is unrelated to the previous statement.
Right, but if true, I agree.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't get more anti-Christian than funding the murdering of yeah. Christians.
Yeah.
So
I'll put that on
so
the shelf.
So if we establish that is true, then yes, is very anti-Christian.
Once you prove that to me, you got a point.
You are correct.
Yeah, you got a point.
So we've got that, right? Then we switch immediately back to the no vote is certainly anti-Israel, which, as we all can guess, is anti-Semitic, right? Or, I mean, I guess not.
No, it's hard to say.
That is a very complicated,
I said up top, Israel's very confusing to me.
I think the no vote is absolutely the correct vote.
100%.
Or not, maybe the abstaining.
Yes.
Which
I believe
a
lot of this settlement stuff is very exploitative,
well,
and a lot of people are dying.
They're killing as many Palestinians as they can.
Yeah.
Which is so much of like the deep-seated psychological issues there of Israel essentially trying to root out Palestinians is so fascinating to me.
Yeah, but
because the pure, I hate to say irony, but just like that idea of like, oh, now it's time to get them out of our country.
The idea of Jews cleansing.
Really hard to justify there.
It's tough, but if you look at the narrative from the Alex Jones wing of it, they aren't Palestinians.
Right.
Then none of them are Palestinians.
They're globalist Islamists.
Right. Yeah, who have been brought in to destabilize.
Right, right.
Who are probably funded by the Open Society, George Soros, all this stuff. Because
The one parallel I have to that, which I think is uninformed and at most an overgeneralization, or at least an overgeneralization. But the only thing I can think of to explain the Israeli takeover of Palestine and the settlements and the absolute unwillingness to even consider a compromise is like, you know how sexual abusers a lot of the times wind up having been sexually abused?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one thing that I can think of that is a parallel that
makes sense in that
narrative.
Or like children of alcoholics often end up dating alcoholics.
Exactly.
Because you're trying to recreate the situation to make it right.
Right.
Well, but that's how it works on an interpersonal level, but I don't know how that works as a society.
Well, if you want to call any unwieldy nation, as a collection of children acting half as smart as the smartest of them. I can see it being at least a national identity. Like America, regardless of what side you are on, in the two-party system, there is definitely a national identity, right? That's different from, most other European countries.
It's Americana.
It's such a ridiculous country that we have.
Yeah.
That's filled with so many, like, different regions that have zero to do with the others.
And that's one of the things that makes it so great.
One consistent national identity, which is fuck the government.
That's it.
That's really our national identity.
All right, let's go to this next clip. I have no idea what this is.
All right. Wait, we're going random grab out?
I really don't remember what this is.
All right, let's do this.
And let's say if nuclear war was breaking out with Russia and they just fired ICBMs in 1967. I would expect Walter Cronkite to be desperate and say, everybody get to your bunkers. The missiles will be here in 5 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost to that level now. The urgency of repudiating Obama, repudiating the globalists, repudiating George Soros, repudiating Henry Kissinger, and all of these insane, out-of-control, anti-American people who just want to destroy prosperity to consolidate control and are willing to push us into World War III to maintain their control.
Wait, press pause real quick. Did you say Kissinger?
He did. Who recently met with Mike Pence?
I feel like he does not know anything about Kissinger.
I don't know why you're saying that.
That's another grab bag pull there. That's a Saudi Arabia in communist China.
That's a mad lib?
Kissinger could not be further on the side of Trump.
Apparently. I mean,
you know, because you remember how Kissinger orchestrated genocide? Anyways. Kissinger is an evil motherfucker.
It does seem that way.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you want to arrest the independent press. You want people to come after me. You want to go after all of our freedoms. You want to be able to do all these horrible things.
See, this is another reason why up top I wanted to make clear I don't want to go after him.
No.
I just want to have fun.
I want to find out. I want to understand.
Because he's so paranoid about people wanting to kick him off the air. I want to be clear that that's not what I want to do.
No.
No.
Well, I mean, our entire livelihood, if you're listening to this a year from now when we are the number one podcast on the planet.
Yeah. Hold on. We got to get to the end of this. I'm really curious where this is going to go.
I'm excited.
And then you just think we're going to sit here and take it 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 and take it. We're not going to take it and take it and take it. You dumbasses. You keep escalating, you're going to get hurt.
I swear to you, I didn't loop that.
That was the perfect. I deserve a podcast award for perfect timing on that.
Also, this is only halfway through the clip.
Believe me, you don't mean anything to me, so I don't even want to see you hurt. Like
not
seeing
true.
A dead, rotting horse or something in the road. I don't even want to look at you. Battle Albright and all you people. The hell's your problem? A bunch of sick freaks, a bunch of neurotics. Want to run everything, want to control everybody. You can't stand people that are better looking than you. You can't stand people that are stronger than you. You've got some weird, twisted competitiveness in you. It's like they say in the great book they turn into a film, There Will Be Blood. He goes, I have a competitiveness about me. I don't want anybody else to succeed.
Okay, I remember why I pulled this clip now. This is one of these great
We're not going to take it. 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 We're going to...
This is such a great example of Alex Jones losing the thread halfway through a sentence.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just this perfect, like, hey, they're trying to destroy the, they're trying to take me off the air, the independent media trying to get rid of it. Also, Madeleine Albright's mad at people.
Where did Madeleine Albright come from?
She's mad at people who are more attractive than her. Like, what are you
Why is he mad at Madeleine Albright?
Now, of
what?
All times.
Yeah. No, wait, well, it's time to really take down Madeleine Albright.
So he's now, this is where the thread, like, he loses it entirely. And the end of this sentence is bananas.
Oh, well, it's exactly like when you're...
The sentence isn't done.
I know. But before we go any further, it's exactly like you've been on this situation on stage where you're too drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking and you're getting to the bit, and then halfway through, all of a sudden, your brain goes,
Nope.
know the bit anymore.
Nope.
So you just start saying stuff because you know eventually your brain's just going to at least pick something up.
Yeah.
Now that is exactly what we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it was.
Now, what's great about this is he does find a thread. It's the wrong thread.
It's completely different.
So he starts going down that path, and he thinks he's going to find it again, and he doesn't, and it just goes to commercial.
Bailed on the bit.
Which is great, but how this fucking commercial break ends is amazing. So he's just talked about how, like, in There Will Be Blood, it's about competition.
Right.
I don't want anybody to succeed at my expense walking on me. But if you innovate, I'm only going to try to model myself after you, and I'm going to admire you. I mean, I've literally pulled up by somebody's sports car before that's super awesome. And my car is parked next to him, and it's nice. I go, that is an incredible car. They're like, oh, man, sorry. Sorry, it's better than yours.
No way.
Is the
first
commercial
of all, no way.
Is the commercial music starting? Okay.
It's like the Oscars playing him off.
Yeah, they're playing him off. Okay.
Because they realize he's lost it.
Yeah.
But like this guy in a nice car pulls up and he's like, "Hey, that's a nice car." And the guy in the car is like, "Hey, sorry, it's better than yours." But like not being a dick, he's being actually like, "Hey man, look, I'm sorry my car's better than yours."
Right.
That has never fucking happened. 1,000 times in the negative. Never happened.
You know what? Let's see where he goes.
And it's like, no, literally, I don't care that your car is so cool. It looks like a spaceship. You know, personally, I wouldn't drive a car like that because it draws too much attention. But, man, that's really a piece of art, you know, incredible. You know, it's like people don't get it, you know.
They don't.
Competitiveness means you like the competition. It's not that you don't like people that are successful, but that's who the globalists are. Okay.
And off to commercial.
And, okay. So the globalists are people.
If you recall where that sentence started, it had to do with people trying to kick him off the air.
Right.
Which I guess if you want to be very generous, you could say that the idea of competition, he's competition to them. I guess.
No, they want to kill him though.
Yeah, I don't understand.
They don't want to drive him off
but
the air.
But that metaphor with the car is amazing because it's not a metaphor.
No,
and it's a,
that's supposed to be a literal story.
It's a story that has never happened to him. It's never happened to anybody.
What car looks like a spaceship?
I don't know, a spaceship car.
Also, why does he envy this car, then say, I would never get one of those cars.
But it's a piece of art.
It's a piece of art. Like,
it draws too much attention to it.
I want to get that car, but I would never get one of those cars.
I have one more clip that I don't remember what it is.
Is he referencing that Kurt Vonnegut short story?
Which one?
Oh shit. Do you remember the one where it's the world is, changed to be equal. So there's this dude and he's the name, the short story is named after him. And so he's this perfect Ubermensch guy. And because of that, they have to make him equal to everybody else. So they put these earmuffs on him to make him half deaf. They put these giant bottle.
That's how he sees himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. He sees himself as somebody who's being, who people are trying
well,
to
the globalists
tear
are trying.
Down. I apologize for not being specific about communist China
and
having
Saudi
a digital Dropbox with all the things necessary.
Well, that's the other thing that I think is really fascinating is that he always complains about how there's a learned helplessness and victim mentality in liberals.
Right.
And then he goes on to say that the globalists are responsible for all his problems.
Right.
So it's like this weird, I don't understand what the line is between like one version of paranoia and the other. I'm not entirely sure, but one's about prosperity, I guess. I don't know.
I think, man, here's the thing that while we're talking, the only thing that I can conceive of is I want to eventually try and understand how his brain works.
Well, that's why we got to keep doing this show.
We have to keep doing
this
show.
Here's one more clip for you that I don't remember what it is, but it has to do with demons.
George, thanks for holding.
I got to start over.
It's time to pray.
George in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Yes, Alex. This is where they want to be. They're going to start World War III. This has always been the plan. You know, they always have. Sure, having Hillary be elected would have been great. You know, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they were still going to start a war when she got in. They were going to shut the press down when she got in. It's in all the WikiLeaks.
Yes, this is not.
They're just going ahead like Trump wasn't even elected. Yep. What does that tell you? Yep.
They don't care because they're crazy, and I think they're possessed personally.
Oh, they definitely are. They're damn demons.
Yep. They're damn demons.
They're
literal demons.
They're possessed.
Yep. He often makes the claims that the people who are against him are literal demons or being paid by Soros. Those are the two groups of people who are against him. And we can say 100% neither. Fair?
Yes. Fair? I would agree with neither.
Yeah.
I would say neither. Now, but that's a brilliant move there is because you're never pinned down. Like,
nope.
Yes, there is the narrative of being possessed. But it could also be like, no, that was a metaphor for
right.
George Soros.
Uh-huh.
But also, George Soros could be possessed if that's what you want to believe.
Yeah,
a metaphor for the globalists who are also, you know.
He sells a shirt, too, that's like a George Soros as a goblin kind of thing. I was like,
that's.
I don't know if that's anti-Semitic, but it doesn't feel good. It's like, I don't know.
Well, you know what? That's the next question.
Right.
is Harry Potter anti-Semitic?
100%.
Right? That's a anti-Semitic.
Dobby is a Jew.
Oh,
I know that for
no,
sure.
No. I was talking about the goblins at the Gringotts Bank.
I gotta be
that
honest.
Was anti-Semitic.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
I'm telling you right now.
I saw one of the movies and I remember Dobby.
I'm telling you right now, Harry Potter, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. J.K. Rowling is possessed and an anti-Semite.
Just kidding, Rowling.
It's time to pray.
Well, anyway, those are the things that I wanted to tell you about InfoWars today.
Right. Let's close it with a clip.
This makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I hope you enjoy it. And if you've enjoyed this show, thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll do more of these in the near future.
And we'll come up with a better name.
And tighten it up a little bit. Oh. This over 2 hours thing is probably not going to work in our favor.
Nope.
But anyway, here we go.
And so we are in the real world, in this epic time, and everything you do is having a giant effect. Pray for this country. Pray for awakening. Pray for providence. Pray for spiritual defense and support and provision for Trump and for InfoWars and for Matt Drudge and for people like Stephen Bannon and others that are at the tip of the spear of this fight because of duty. But understand, this is real. You can see it. It's not our opinion. We are the people resisting this. You are the folks resisting it. We're all in this together. And none of us are perfect, but we've got God on our side. Also, we're running, extending the Christmas special just even more until Wednesday and then it's over because people like it so much. Free shipping store-wide. 50 to 30% off everything while supplies last. The problem is we've sold out of, I don't know, 8 different things at InfoWarsLife.com or InfoWarsStore.com. So a lot of stuff has sold out, but we still have Brain Force now with 20% more in each bottle, 30% off. You cannot beat that deal, and free shipping. Sign up for auto ship, get an additional 10% off. Wow. Super Male Vitality and Female Vitality are about to sell out. We've got 30% off on those. X2 is about to sell out. We've got, I mean, it's $20 right now. That is unprecedented, and free shipping. We have the Liver Cleanse Liver Shield with Oxy Powder. For the gallbladder and liver cleanse, that's discounted 30% off when you get them together. Again, we're talking 4.8-star reviews here by third-party review sites and so much more. Bio-PCA for your hair, skin, and nails, but everything else as well. We've got Biome Defense in the $25 billion.